So the next song I think we're going to do is Part-Time Believer. Mm-hmm. And the refrain of the song talks about a young man waiting for his father to come home from work. It seems very much like a very hipster Hallmark moment to me. In the refrain. I'm sort of wondering what's your relationships with your fathers like?
Well, actually,
that's a deep question.
It is.
It's public radio.
Yeah, that's great. I can say personally for John and I, like our parents are so supportive of what we do, and you know, my dad especially has always said, you know, go and follow your dreams, like go and do it. If you want to do music, go and make it happen. And they've been so supportive, and they love it. They cut out all the paper clippings, and they've got a little coffee table book that they show everyone of Boy and Bear. Clippings and Boy and Bear Press, and you know they're really into it. And Dad's just found out how to use Skype, so he's always trying to Skype. So I mean, I feel really fortunate personally. John and I do quite well with our father.
I think like parents are one of those funny things because they're so supportive and so loving. And I think all of us have like because we all know each other's parents, we're pretty stoked. I think with the parents that we've been given, and it's sort of parents be parents. You know, they want you to go and do uni and do your degree. So for me, it was always like, you got to get a degree. But then once you get in this band, and I guess it's sort of, it does something more than your average Joe, like playing to three people. Like I've been there every night playing to three people. And once this band sort of started going somewhere, like just the enthusiasm and the support they give is just like, it's just multiplied. It's really cool.
Mm. Great. And you've heard about us, but you haven't heard about the guy that wrote the song.
I was going to say, now we've heard from the folks with good parental relationships, and now this side of the room.
No, my dad's wicked. Yeah, he's cool. Yeah. I did the lyrics to that song, so I don't know. I'm really close to my dad, and we're good mates, and somehow he managed to make his way into one of our songs, which he now calls his song.
He loves it.
Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah, he claims it.
That's great. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, let's do it.
Part-Time Believer, Boy and Bear on WTMD.
Supposed to be a part-time believer, still true. Somehow conceited, this sense of self-evasive solitude, it means way too much to me. And I hope how lucky you are. Oh, I remember sitting back on my balcony. I was listening to the Rolling Stones. See, I was waiting for my dad to come home from work so I could show him all the chords that I'd run. See, I was under the impression I was gonna lead some kind of simple, understated life. But now I'm living in the shadows of a memory, and I hope so, man, I hope so, oh. Too long. It seems that I can't celebrate my meaning, for I am too young to mourn. And if it won't release, it pulls and it pushes me till I wither, yeah, till I wither. Till I wither, and I hope you
was waiting for my dad to come home from work so I could show him all the chords that I'd learned. See, I was under the impression I was gonna lead some kind of simple, understated life. But now I'm living in the shadows of a memory, and I hope so. Man, I hope so. Oh, oh. You know, you dare, you run like a lion to defend your senses. You know, it seems it cuts at the core. It's not the same.
Thank you, Boy and Bear, on nice. WTMD. I first found out about you guys at South by Southwest. Dave's laughing. That was last March, and actually, it was actually very. You know, we were scheduling to go, and I was looking around on the iPad South by Southwest app and everything, and I was sampling all the songs, and you know, got to yours, came on, and actually, I got called away, and more than listening to just 30 seconds or whatever, you know, I heard the whole song and it started to loop, and I was getting into the music. Is the internet or things like that working for you guys? If everyone says that, you know, the internet, and since you released the album just digitally now, and your Facebook page is pretty active, how is all that working? Is that important to young bands now, or is it something that us old folks think, you know, you have to do just because we don't know how to do it?
I think it's pretty critical. I know that the argument is, you know, the internet, more downloads, more rips of records, so less people buying records. But, you know, for us, this is about touring, and, you know, I love to hear that heaps of people are downloading our record. You know, unfortunately, it's a hard thing to say, but it's almost not our issue. I think it affects the record labels a lot more than it affects bands like us, but... You know, the internet's the one reason why we can come play a West Coast tour and still get, I don't know, 100 or 150 people to rock up to a show in San Francisco. And, you know, I think the internet sort of makes the world your oyster, and it's helped us out a lot.
There's so many people that have come up to us and said, you know, I heard your stuff on YouTube, you know, like, and that's incredible. Like, they wouldn't be there otherwise. You know, maybe sometimes it might be half the people at a you know, show. Like, as for San Francisco, because... You know, we've never been there. Like, we don't really have anyone doing publicity for us there. It's just people have heard about it on the internet. It's incredible.
So let me skip to this one. Although I do want to get back to something about South by Southwest that really impressed me. But so then you've grown here and in Australia and in the UK. So then what is the plan for the United States? It seems a natural following Mumford and Avitz, and the sound that you have seems very much in style right now. What are your plans for the next time you come back?
It's an interesting question. Yeah, we know we've got to get back soon. We want to make sure that we have a presence here. We're looking at relocating next year, either here or the UK, because it's so difficult to tour the US and the UK from Australia because it's obviously so far away. So, I don't know. I'd love to get on the back of, like, a really big tour. I just want to play here. I think that's what we did at home for so long, was just show after show after show. And I think for us here, you know, I feel like we've built a really great team. We've got some really amazing partners that are doing some really great work. I almost feel like the rubber's hitting the road, and it's getting to that point where, you know, excuse the pun, but we need to get back on the road and just tour and play lots of cities. That's what we want to do.
So the other thing that kind of got me about your appearances at South By was the Australian barbecue party. And for folks who haven't seen this on the internet, it's 60 bands in one day on three or four stages in this. Is it?
Go ahead. I was going to say that would explain why like the load in and load out was ridiculous. I didn't know it was 60 bands. Get on, get off.
I thought it was 30, and then I found the poster checking my facts, and I'm like 60. It was 60 bands. I missed the Vegemite that did run out before I got around to the table. But
shame.
Yeah.
Did they have Tim Tams?
I don't remember. Oh. I was worried about making sure
you were blind, weren't you?
but you know, I was the thing that really surprised me is at the show there were so many Australian government types with name tags on that said things like, you know, Assistant Minister of Music for Perth, and it seemed to me that there was a great presence from an official presence at the party as well, and then. In looking a few things up, it seemed that the Australian government gives out grants for bands to tour around and things like that. And I'm curious, is the Australian government supportive of popular music more so than I think perhaps folks would expect the American government to be?
I mean, I don't know the situation in America with it, but I mean, I guess we've been pretty fortunate with grants. Like, we've been looked after fairly well over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's sort of... It does change depending on what state you're in. Like federally, I'm not really sure how much there is you can do there. There's definitely like a few, I don't know, associations or whatever you want to call them that are sort of subsidized, I guess, by the government that do offer grants. And they might do like two or three a year and you have to apply for it, obviously. It's funny you mentioned that the Perth officials were there or the ministers because Perth is actually part of Western Australia, and
they're really good.
They're really supportive of music. Like they give out a lot of grants, and it's mainly for bands who are from Western Australia. So we can't apply for them, but we have other bands who get them quite frequently. So it's funny to see that they were out there because I didn't see them, but it would make sense.
But I think you could say, like, kind of as a country, we have an expression at home called little man syndrome where like it's the little guy who wants to be really tough because he's small. And I guess because we're so far away and we're kind of isolated, I think the government will want to kind of find ways to be supportive of anything that can be exported to the world. So if you can show that you're somehow doing something that takes Australia elsewhere, then I think that, you know, there are sort of mechanisms in place to help you. And I think we've, like Tim said, we've been kind of lucky to benefit from that syndrome, if you will.
Yeah. That's great.